All right. Again, thankful for everybody being out tonight, this morning. I mean, this is a very, very important sermon. This is a much needed sermon. We need to be reminded. I'm going to hold off this week on going through the book of John. I feel like God will have me preach today out of Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. Luke 16, let's pray. Father, my Father, I pray this morning, God, that you would help me to preach a word. God, no matter how hard I preach it, God, it's still not going to portray how bad, how disheartening, Lord, it is that people die and go to hell. God, hell is not some cuss word, Lord. It is a real place that people right now on this earth are dying and going to, because nobody's told them the truth, because they haven't been warned, or Lord, because they have rejected all the warnings. I pray this morning that you would fill me with your Spirit. I pray that you would move on the hearts of those that are gathered here this morning. I pray that you would help me to preach your word, God. And I pray that your presence would fall on this place, and that sinners would finally walk the aisle, get on this altar, and give their heart to Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, so that they don't have to go to hell. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just help us this morning, Lord, as we preach thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter number 16. Skip on down to verse number 19. Luke 16, 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. This is an accurate account, I believe, of a man that died and went to hell. This is not a parable. In parables, they don't use exact names. And Jesus himself said there was a certain rich man. Listen, we're in the most blessed country on this earth. Our poorest people live better than most every other country on the face of this earth. But our riches will not get us into heaven. And just because somebody's poor does not mean that they'll go to heaven. This rich man, like a lot of people, thought that he was good to go. Thought maybe because he had a lot of money that was going to get him somewhere in life. Listen, this first part here, this is the best it's going to get for those that are lost. If you're here this morning, you enjoy yourself. You keep living in your sin because this is the best it's going to get for you. One of these days, you'll split hell wide open just as this rich man who thought he was okay. He had lots of money. Matter of fact, the Bible's very specific. It doesn't say that Lazarus was ever buried. But it makes it known that the rich man was buried. He had lots of money and he fared sumptuously every day. You're living it up right now thinking that I've got it good as I'm going to have it. And there's nothing you can do or say to convince me otherwise. That's exactly right. Matter of fact, it doesn't matter what I say to you. It doesn't matter what I preach to you. You're going to be just like what Abraham told this rich man about his family. He said, if you won't believe Moses and the prophets, neither will you be persuaded though one rose from the dead. I believe the Lord prophesies of his own death and burial and resurrection in that one verse right there. He told those Jews that were sitting there listening. He said, listen, you won't listen to Moses and the prophets. You won't be persuaded by them. You won't be persuaded by what's about to happen. They sat there on that day of his death when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. The sun was blacked out for 3 hours. The earth shaked. It was so bad that even the wicked Roman soldier in his feet acknowledged that that truly was the Son of God. But those Jews just kept right on mocking. They kept right on making fun of it. And Jesus told that rich man, he said, if you won't listen to Moses and the prophets, you won't be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Over 500 people testified that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Seen of 500, not one of them ever recanted. Out of all those disciples, listen, people make a fun of it. They say, man, it's all one big lie. It's all one big. Listen, if that was true, why did those men give their lives for it? Would you give your life for a lie of that sort? Those people willingly, Peter and Paul and all those men and women through the years have given their life because they believed the Lord Jesus Christ and to believe what he said. But you sit here this morning, and the best that you've got is the best you're going to have because you're going to follow your sin just like this rich man right into hell. He fared sumptuously every day. Purple was a sign of royalty. This man could have been royal. And he's got a beggar out there by his gate that's warning him and telling him of what's coming his way. But that rich man says, oh, I got all the time in the world, preacher. Listen, I know what you're saying may be true, but I've got all the time in the world. I bet that's what Crystal was thinking just a month ago. Before she found out she had cancer on the verge of death, 35 years old. I bet that's what a lot of people think each and every day as they're killed in car crashes and mysterious diseases. Now we've got people being bit. There was one I read an article not long ago, a man that was bit by a mosquito, and 9 days later he was dead. What about y'all? I've been bit by a lot of mosquitoes here lately. Makes me think about it too. But I'm not afraid of death. Death, where is thy sting?
Listen,
This is the best it's going to get for those that are lost. There was a certain rich man. Jesus told him, said, how those that trust in riches will verily enter into heaven, not because they can't be saved, but because they're too busy trusting in themselves. They're too busy trusting in what they've been blessed with. A lot of times we think, man, why is God not blessed? Probably because He knows that we'd be just like this rich man. We'd reject Him and refuse to acknowledge Him if we were rich in our lives. This rich man trusted in his riches. And all that got him was into hell. You know what you don't find here? You won't find any mention of purgatory. You won't find any mention of his family being able to buy his way out of hell, because it ain't possible. It ain't going to happen. I don't care what some denomination or religion teaches. No amount of money can get somebody out of hell. Why do we think we can bribe an almighty, holy God with our money? One of the most precious substances we think is this right here. We think it's so valuable. Gold. God uses it for asphalt up in heaven. What are you going to bribe God with? He made this gold. You can't bribe your way out of heaven. You can't bribe your way into heaven. It's putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or one of these days you'll be just like this rich man. He died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Listen, I know what a bunch of these liberals say in our day and time. I know that Billy Graham at one time, they say, preached the right truth. But at the end of his life, he came down and said, there's no fire in hell. That's contrary to what God said. Out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself said that there is flames in hell. And you can believe some liberal preacher, or you can believe what the Lord Jesus Christ says. I'm not the one saying it. The Lord says it. Right there. These are His mouths. If you've got a red letter edition, you see that the words themselves are in red. Mine's not a red letter, but those of you that do, you can see these are the Lord Jesus Christ's words. He said, and in hell He lift up His eyes, being in torments. Hell's not some party that you're going to have. Oh, I know, I've heard all the rock stars. I've heard all these wicked people out here talking about they're going to have one big party in hell. There's no party there going on right now. You know what's going on in hell right now? They're screaming. They're begging for water. He didn't even beg for a bottle of water. He just said, just let Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water. Touch to my tongue. For I'm tormented in this flame. There'll be no more alcohol. There'll be no more drugs. There'll be no sin. There'll be no more fornicating. Oh, there may be some cussing going on, because I'm sorry. He says, remember that. In thy lifetime, receivest thou good things. Oh, you'll never remember all the sins that you've done. You'll never remember the times that you sat in church and you heard preaching and you heard somebody get up and preach about hell and you walked away and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let today be that day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You don't want to go to this place. I know that most preachers are afraid to preach on it, and I'm not going to do it any justice. But I'm telling you, you do not want to go to this place of torment. Man, when's the last time you burned yourself? Can you imagine? You know, most of the time, we burn ourselves. Allie, just the other day, it went on a flame. She got some hot grits on her. Grits are southern thing, I know what's going on. Allie got some hot grits on her just in a second. It was so hot that it caused her a second degree burn and blistered up on her hand and her fingers. That wasn't even a flame. When's the last time you burned yourself in a flame or something hot? I mean, when was the last time you really burned yourself? Imagine that all over your body. I am tormented in this flame. It's not a joke. It's not a laughing matter. I believe science is actually right on this one. It's one of the few things science is right on. They believe the hot of this earth is a burning molten lava. I believe it too, because the Lord Jesus Christ told me. The hot of this earth is a place called hell. And if you're not saved this morning, that's your destination. This is as good as it's going to get for you. Hold the place right here. Turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. This is as good as it's going to get for those that are lost. But it does rain on the just as it does the unjust. In Psalm 73, verse number 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet are almost gone, my steps had nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, I know, listen, I know, I look around too and I think, God, why the wicked are flourishing and they're prosperous. But listen, this is it for them. They've got nothing better ahead for them. But those of us that are saved this morning, those of us that have really been born again, the Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear and eye hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that await. He said, the writer here of this psalm says, I was envious at the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. I know, you look around, you think, well, the wicked are prospering and they're getting to do all these things and you're preaching to us a bunch of do not this and do not that. Listen, I told you before, you get saved, you won't want to do that. I know that I have to preach those things, but I don't want to go out and drink. I don't want to go out and do drugs. Why? Because I've got something better. I've got something that money cannot buy. That's the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me because I've been born again. You ask me why I'm so happy. I'm happy because Jesus died for my sins. Skip down to verse number 12. It says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. But all this has to come to pass now. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I will offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought of to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Then understood. Listen, why do we come to church? We come to church to worship God. We come to church to encourage one another, to exhort one another. I talked about it. Those of you that have been here know one of the gifts of the Spirit of God is exhortation. There's somebody in here this morning that God, either if you are saved or not saved, God's going to give you that spirit of exhortation where you're able to encourage people to be at the house of God. And you know what? It's an encouragement to me to see you here. Each and every one of you. Whether you know it or not, if you're not here, it's a discouragement to me. But he says here, in verse number 17, he's envious of them and he's seeing that and he sees that rich man. You're thinking, man, he's rich, he's loaded. But then the Bible says in verse 17, until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. This is it for them. And this is it for you if you don't get saved. Matter of fact, today could be the last day for you. God is long-suffering. There's no doubt about that. God's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want you to wake up in the morning in hell. But that could be your place if you don't get saved today. Your riches don't matter anything. Now listen, so I'm trying my best to get my finances in order. So if something ever did happen to me, God did call me home before what I was wanting, my wife and kids wouldn't be in bad shape. But it doesn't matter whether I leave my wife and kids $10,000 in the hole or $1 million in the bank. Neither one of those things is going to get me into heaven. He says here, there was a certain rich man. I believe there's a reason that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't give His name. Jesus could have easily given His name just as He gave Lazarus' name. But listen, this morning, if I told you and I preached to you that rich man Bill Gates died and went to hell, you know what that would do? That would have stunned most people. If He specifically named that person in hell, they'd have thought, he didn't make it? He's in hell? And they'd be too busy caught up on him being in hell rather than their own condition. But some beggar on the street over here, we name him as Lazarus, and nobody knows who he is. We think being rich and famous means something, but it means absolutely nothing in eternity. Doesn't matter your riches. He said there was a rich man that was clothed in purple, which is a sign of royalty, and fine linen. You know, we put too much stock in clothes. Isn't it amazing? I went to public school, and I'm thankful, praise God, that my kids are homeschooled. They'd have no idea the stress that kids go under. You got two shirts here, both of them made out of cotton. One of them with the name Nike on it, and the other one a Walmart knockoff. Made probably from the exact same factory over in China or some other country. But if you wear the one that's a knockoff, they ridicule you and pick on you. But listen, if we spend $10 more for this one just because it said Nike on it, oh, we're all in the up crowd. Yeah. Doesn't matter. All that stuff doesn't matter. All this is going to be wiped away one day. Listen, this man was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. I don't know about y'all, but now listen, God takes care of me. But I wouldn't use the word sumptuously every day. I'm not eating steak every day. Praise God, we finally got to have a steak. We bought one steak the other day. I took half of it. My wife took the other half till all the kids wanted it. And she split that whole steak, her half, into five pieces. We're not living sumptuously every day. Now, God takes care of us. My God shall supply all your need. Not all my wants. He gives me some of my wants. But He'll supply all of your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. He doesn't give us steak every day. You know what happens? We get spoiled. You don't believe me? Look at the children of Israel in the wilderness. 40 years. 40 years they ate manna. Do you know what the word manna translates to? Angel food. They ate angel food for the angels every day. And what happened? They murmured against God about it. All we've got is this manna to eat. That's how we are with the Lord. We're never thankful for what we've got. We're always complaining about what we don't have. We look at them people and the children of Israel, we think, oh man, I wouldn't be like that, but we're just the same thing. God, I've had this suit now for 5 years, 6 years now. Why can't I have a new suit? What's wrong with that? Well, nothing's wrong with it, but I've had it for a while now. Why do I have to keep it? I've had this car now for 4 whole years, Lord. Why can't I have me a new car? I've lived in this house now for 6 years, God. Why can't I have a new house? And we're just, Paul said, be content with such things as you have. I'm not trying to be me. I'm just letting you know. If that's all you ever think about, the Bible says, we talked about this last week on Sunday night, I think, was he said, friendship of the world is intimacy with God. If a man will be the friend of the world, he is the enemy of God. We ought to not be looking. Listen, I'm not saying to go through this world dirt poor. I'm not saying that. But if that's what you're trusting in, then you're greatly mistaken. I got to move on. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass when the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Again, no mention of a burial there. Oh, but the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Oh, he knew who he was. Do you notice that Father Abraham doesn't have to introduce him there? He knows exactly who it is. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. So he knew who Lazarus was. He knew who the man of God was that was there and he was supposed to help take care of him. He knew all that. But he never wanted to listen when he was on earth. He didn't want to listen when he was alive. Oh, but now he's in hell, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. This rich man, no doubt, there's no doubt in my mind, this rich man had all the wine that he wanted to drink. And at least he's rich. He had all the wine that he wanted to drink. All the steak or whatever it was that they had, like, all that he wanted to eat. Did he beg for any of that? No, he begged for Lazarus to just dip the tip of his finger in water and touch it to his tongue. Cool my tongue, for I tormented this one. I don't know about you this morning, but I know people that are in hell right now. I know people that I've witnessed to. I know people that I've worked around, and I don't wish on nobody. Man that I worked around, witnessed to. Died in a drunken crash, going the wrong way up a highway. I told the story last week, if it was. There was a guy in our church. This has been back about 4 or 5, well, it's been about 6 years ago now. I told you, I'm afraid to ask when we do the invitation, those of you that asked me to pray for you, those of you that are under conviction, raise your hand. I'm afraid to ask that because I saw a man, knew a boy, a little bit older than I. He's about this age right now. He's about 37 when he died. Lifted his hand up, acknowledged that he was lost. 6 days later, he's in hell in a drunken crash. You can live your party, you can live your life. Nobody is guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed that you're going to make it back in here next Sunday. This rich man didn't beg for food. He didn't beg for wine. He didn't beg for anything else other than Lazarus. And then it was dipped the tip of his finger and put it to his tongue. Oh, I believe there's fire in hell because the Lord Jesus Christ said it. And he cried, said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And said, Lazarus, listen, God's already had mercy on you this morning. He's long-suffering. He's provided a means that you don't have to go to hell today. Now the question is, will you receive Jesus Christ for salvation? Or are you going to be just like this rich man? He said, son, remember. One of the most painful things outside the flames of hell will be your memory. You'll remember every time that God dealt with you. You'll remember every time you picked up the Word of God and God tried to speak to you. You'll remember every time a man of God preached to you about hell. He said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou with thanks. You're going to remember this service right here. And you're going to remember the time when it ended and you walked right out of this door and on your road to heaven. Are you going to continue down that road? Are you going to hold on to something that never did anything for you in your life? Man, I can remember 19 years ago, this time, 19 years ago, when I was lost. Man of God preached on my mouth and the cussing and those things. And I can remember going to bed at night and God saying, hell is where you're going to wake up if you don't get saved. And I'd go to bed at night, couldn't sleep. I'd get up in the mornings, hardly any sleep, under conviction, thinking, man, I'm going to die in my sleep. I'm going to die and go to hell. I know it's not a pleasant subject. But Jesus preached more on hell than he ever did on heaven. People need to be reminded of what's coming. He said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted and thou art tormented. He says, now, besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. When you're in there, you're not getting out. Hell's not eternal, though. I got good news for you. About this much good news. Hell's not eternal. The book of Revelation tells us it's not eternal. You'll get out long enough to be judged for your sins. And then you'll be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire will be more painful than hell. See, hell's just flames and torment. The lake of fire, it's like what it says, it's like being in a lake surrounded by water, but it's going to be nothing but brimstone and all those things, molten lava. There's no water in hell. There's no getting out. There's the great gulf fixed, so that they that would pass from thence to you cannot. Imagine being able to look over there and seeing your lost loved ones in hell. It's going to be painful. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father. Listen, he's given up on himself. He knows that he's not going anywhere. If your loved one this morning's in hell, if you know somebody in hell this morning, they've given up on themselves and they're praying. He said, I'm praying. He probably never did it once in his life while he was alive. But he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He believes in going. He believes in spreading the gospel now. For I have five brethren. That he may testify unto them. Lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. See, that's the problem this morning. I'm preaching and preaching that there was one that came from the dead. And you won't believe him. You're going to walk out of here in your sins on the road to hell. Let me finish up with this because I feel like I just need to finish right now. Revelation chapter 20, real quick. Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Here's what your destination's going to be right here. Revelation 20, verse number 10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So you're never getting out of hell. You're not going to burn up. It wouldn't mean nothing if you just burned right up. But listen, when God created us, one of the things we talk about tonight, when God created us, He created us just like Him in that we have an eternal soul. We'll live forever. You'll either live forever in heaven or you'll live forever in the lake of fire. And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was no place, there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. That means from the least to the greatest, stand before God. And the books were opened. That's the books of your life. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And if your name's not written in that book of life, here's what's going to happen. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. No, it's not going to be if your good outweighs the bad. It's going to be to weigh how hot the lake of fire is going to be for you. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. This is why hell, we know that hell is not your permanent home. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I told you last week, I said, listen, you've got one of two choices. You can be born twice and die once, or you can be born once and you'll die twice. You'll die on this earth and you'll die an eternal death in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever, listen, was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's people in hell right now begging for you to be saved. Begging for you not to come to that same place where they're at. Begging for lost loved ones to be reached right here in this town. Begging for somebody to believe in Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Here's what's going to happen for those of us that are saved. We're going to forget all about you eventually. Chapter 21 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adored for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Right here it is now. We've watched all this happen. We've watched our lost loved ones be cast into the lake of fire. And it's not till Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I cannot even begin to imagine that day of watching men, women, teenagers, boys, girls, whatever, being cast into the lake of fire that I knew, that I witnessed to, the sorrow that's going to come. He says, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You see, you'll remember us, but God's going to eventually wipe you from our memory, because heaven and eternity would not be heaven and eternity if we remembered you. And the fact that you're cast into the lake of fire. But you'll remember this message right here. You'll remember the time that, man of God, I know that I've not done justice to what hell is and what the lake of fire is. But I'm telling you this morning, if you're not saved, if you've never repented of your sins, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, hell will be your home very soon. And one of these days, that lake of fire will be your eternal death. Don't waste another day rejecting Jesus Christ. Call on the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Come to this altar this morning and beg God for salvation. That's all it takes this morning. Let's all stand. Our Father, I pray this morning that people would not put it off another day. God, there are people in here on that road to hell. Just as this rich man thought that he was good, thought that his money was going to get him what he wanted, and he opened his eyes in torments in hell. There are people in here this morning, they don't have money and riches, but they've rejected Moses and the prophets. And Lord, no matter what I preach, they're not persuaded, though one rose from the dead. But I pray this morning that you would persuade them, God. I know that you're a perfect gentleman. You're not going to force anybody to be saved. But I pray this morning, Lord, that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, work in their hearts, please, God, this morning. I beg you in Jesus' name. Amen.